Chapter 40. That Ron Pataki, still alive today, roams free, is a scary proposition, even at his advanced age. Based on his arrest record, Stanford, Columbus, Ohio incident with Jim Otis, DUI and disorderly conduct in Westerville, Ohio, his propensity for violence, Anna Maria Alberghetti incident, Pataki called violent and nutsy, multiple conflicting statements regarding his complicity in Kilgallen's death, the twin incriminating poems he wrote, one detailing the exact circumstances under which Kilgallen was murdered, poisoning, and his strong level of anger evident to this day during email exchanges with this author. Pataki's pattern of disturbing behavior indicates he is still a time bomb waiting to explode. Labeling Pataki, who admitted in a 1970s column to having worked in a Columbus, Ohio area mental hospital in 1959, a pathological liar with psychopathic tendencies is no stretch of the imagination when one considers the symptoms. Poor control over behavior. Using others, a parasitic lifestyle. Superficial charm and glibness. Inflated sense of self-worth. Constant need for stimulation. Lying pathologically. Conning others, being manipulative. Lack of remorse or guilt. Callousness, lack of empathy. Inflated belief in one's own ability. Pataki's behavior before and after Kilgallen's death fits the definition of a psychopath like the proverbial glove. Any psychiatrist would welcome the chance to interview the troubled man, the man the NYDA's office has so far let go free, to probe deeply into his psyche, to learn the real truth about the man who Kilgallen loved and trusted, and who betrayed her. This said, 5 decades and counting after Dorothy Kilgallen died, despite possessing sufficient motive and the means, opportunity, and benefit from the crime, only a court of law can substantiate that she was killed by Pataki. There is also no absolute proof that Richard Colmar, Carlos Marcello, J. Edgar Hoover, or others who feared Kilgallen's JFK and Lee Harvey Oswald assassination investigation had her killed. Based on motive, Marcello and Hoover remain the chief suspects, with Pataki, a likely ally, paid or threatened to betray her. Statements made by Mark Sinclair during his 2000 interview, disclosing his personal feelings about Kilgallen's death, must be considered when continuing to pursue the truth about how she died. He stated, "Whatever happened, they didn't realize that Dorothy wore a hairpiece. They also didn't realize Dorothy wore false eyelashes. So they were not attuned to that side of it at all. They were really unprepared for how she dressed for the mornings. James, the butler, would have known. Evelyn, James's wife, would have known. Everyone in that house would have known how she slept and where she slept." He added, "So what is the conspiracy we're talking about? That someone covered it up, her death. For what reason?" Full interview, available at www.thedorothykilgallenstory.org. Without prompting, Sinclair speculated, "Let's say Dorothy didn't die at home. I don't think she did. I think she died somewhere else. So that means you've got to get her home, get her into the house, and take her upstairs. She didn't die in that bedroom, that's for sure." This is a mystery. Whether Sinclair meant that Kilgallen actually died in a location other than the townhouse, or could have been rendered incapable in another location and then moved to the townhouse, is unknown. Based on James Clements' version of the facts, he discovered Kilgallen's body in the bathroom, not the bedroom. Adding to the intrigue, Sinclair said, was the fact that Kilgallen's regular chauffeur, Roosevelt Zanders, the one who had accompanied her to JFK's inauguration, was sick on the night before and morning of her death. A substitute was on duty. His name never disclosed. Sinclair added, "Whether the mystery can ever be solved, I don't know. But it is a mystery. As I said, I don't think she died at home. I think she was brought home." Asked if Ron Pataki was the murderer, Sinclair replied, "I think he had the connection, but I don't think he'd have enough guts to do something like that." The hairdresser then addressed the mystery of Kilgallen's death in a separate manner, stating, "There will be some things about Dorothy's death you'll never be able to find, unless you have her assassination investigation notes. I don't know whether Richard took those notes, or whether they were ever in the house, or what she did with them at the time, since I've seen her open them and look at them." To the millions of fans, including the thousands of people who attended her showing and funeral service, she was a true hero, one who, as noted, broke the so-called glass ceiling long before the term became popular. As of spring 2018, this author had received more than 800 emails from people around the world praising Kilgallen, while being incensed that she has never received the justice she deserves. Many called her a patriot, with one woman actually visiting Kilgallen's grave to smooth away the leaves covering her headstone. The headline in the Journal American on the day of her funeral was, "They came to say goodbye to Dorothy Kilgallen. People came by the thousands to pay last respect." The accompanying text read, "They came to say goodbye to Dorothy, from Washington Heights, from Flatbush, wearing mink hats or slightly shabby cloth coats, some frankly tearful, others solemn. One mourner had driven to New York City from Gary, Indiana." Kilgallen wasn't popular with everyone. A rival columnist referred to her as Dorothy Spillgarbage, and a Time Life book in 1970 said she was quince-faced, but there was unanimous respect for her courage. Recall William Randolph Hearst, Jr., the second son of his legendary father, said of Kilgallen, "She was as good a reporter as ever came down the line," adding, "Dorothy had three trademarks, a keen mind, a tailored exterior, and a steel rod as a backbone. She was life and death. She reached into the precipices of people's emotions, in both her writings and her personal confrontations with her own existence. She was enthusiastic, open, full of life." On the What's My Line tribute program, aired on November 14, 1965, panelist and Murder One publisher Bennett Cerf said of Kilgallen, "We got to know her as a human being, and a more lovable, softer, loyal person never lived, and we're going to miss her terribly." Guest panelist Steve Allen said of Kilgallen, "She was a brilliant woman, quick-minded, intelligent." This program is preserved at YouTube.com. Mark Sinclair's love for Kilgallen was apparent. He said, "She was very smart, and she didn't appear tough. She didn't come on like gangbusters, but she was very brazen. She would write things that would shock people. She was a very good reporter, with the Sam Shepard case, Profumo, with all that. And remember, it was a conservative time, so what you might think is not startling today was startling then. She was the real thing." In a separate audiotaped interview, Sinclair added, "Someone said Dorothy was the first feminist, making money in a man's world when women couldn't do that." During a television interview with Joe Franklin, Johnny Ray said, "People who did not know her totally misunderstood her. They thought she was a cold-hearted newspaper woman who would stop at nothing." That was cynical. Attack, attack, attack. But Dorothy wasn't any of those things. She was the softest, tenderest, most thoughtful, most lovable woman I have ever known. Ray added, "The relationship got to the point where I was always having to defend her. Every place we went, people knew we were close, and they'd say, 'What is she really like?' Unfortunately, she got that tough image from What's My Line. She took that show very seriously. She took the game very seriously. She played it to win. She was a real game player. At PJ Clark's at 2 or 3 in the morning, we'd play games. On the show, she'd forget there was a camera, forget there was an audience. So she had an image with the public of being aggressive and tough, and she was none of those things. Out of respect, the Journal American devoted 7 pages to Kilgallen's life and times. Famed Broadway producer David Merrick added, "Dorothy Kilgallen was one of the great reporters of our time. Her coverage of trials were journalistic masterpieces. She was a star and gave glamour and glitter to the world of journalism." Acclaimed lawyer Louis Neiser told a reporter, "Kilgallen had keen insight, vivid and concise descriptive powers, and an evaluating intelligence." Sammy Davis Jr. said, "Broadway won't be the same without her." Actress Joan Crawford lauded her close friend as one of the greatest women who ever lived. A Journal American editorial following Kilgallen's death celebrated her life. "In a profession that is exacting in appraisal of its members and cautious of excessive praise, Dorothy Kilgallen was recognized everywhere as an all-time great in the history of journalism. She was extraordinarily perceptive in getting inside events and the people who made them, whether they concerned the coronation of a queen or a murder trial. She was continuously brilliant in putting down those percepts on paper, so clear and so meticulously attentive to selective details that readers were transported to the scene. Dorothy Kilgallen's readers were not merely informed of happenings, they lived them. Dorothy was courageous, both in her disregard for physical safety, which at times she risked, and in her determination to let no one and nothing stand in her way of getting to the heart of a story." Famed journalist Dominic Dunn wrote, "She projected an aura of glamour with her magnificent evening dresses and jewels. She had wit, power, and a mean streak. Everybody read her, and a lot of people were afraid of her." Bill Slocum, a fellow reporter at the Journal American, wrote, "Dorothy was never one of the boys. She was always very much a dame. She could be quite grand when the mood or the necessity was on her. Or she could sit down with the boys and drink a little whiskey. She did her job on this earth, and by God, whatever she had to do, she did as well as anybody ever did." Nearly 3,000 mourners had gathered inside the St. Vincent Ferrer Roman Catholic Church on New York City's Upper East Side to celebrate Kilgallen's life and times. Another 1,500 huddled outside to pay respects to the famous media icon and crack investigative reporter who had been honored with her rightful position on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Included were Kilgallen's What's My Line panelist companion Arlene Francis, who told the Journal American, "In a world where successful women are so often compared to men, Dorothy remained completely feminine. My husband and I have always been grateful for the loyalty of her friendship. She was not only a first-class reporter, but a deeply loyal friend, and we shall miss her." Actress Joan Crawford stated, "Her death is a tremendous shock. The only thing I can say is that Dorothy was one of the greatest women who ever lived." Dr. Sam Shepard, who owed his freedom to Kilgallen's efforts, said under the Journal American posted banner, "Dr. Sam regrets loss of champion. I was very shocked and grieved. I didn't really know her until I was released from prison. Didn't get a chance to shake her hand and thank her." Honorary pallbearers included publisher William Randolph Hearst Jr. and What's My Line moderator John Charles Daly. Among the celebrities attending were actress Joan Crawford, Ed Sullivan, jazz pianist Bobby Short, film producer Joseph E. Levine, and actress Betty White. Flower arrangements were present from Bob Hope, Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton, and New York City Mayor John Lindsay, whose sympathy card included the words, "Dorothy will be missed, not only by those who knew her, but also by the millions whose lives she reached daily. The day before the funeral, United Press International reported 10,000 people walked past Dorothy Kilgallen's covered African mahogany coffin for viewing at the Abbey Funeral Directors at 888 Lexington Avenue. Dorothy Kilgallen balanced motherhood with a far-reaching professional career, one that entailed larger-than-life achievements in a manner that overwhelms those of modern-day female media personalities, including Oprah Winfrey, Diane Sawyer, or Barbara Walters. Today, these achievements go unrecognized. Her name is not even listed among the finest reporters in history, man or woman. There are no awards in her name, no tributes. Most people remember her for being a What's My Line game show celebrity, instead of for her accomplishments as a gifted wordsmith, superb columnist, and one of the finest investigative reporters who ever covered a high-profile trial. This unfortunate perspective is changing on a slow but progressive basis as people learn more about the real Dorothy Kilgallen. Meanwhile, Kilgallen's memory lives on. Her accomplishments, both personally and professionally, a monument to a woman of class, a woman who inspires, a woman who fought her whole life with one main goal in mind, discovering the truth. As an editorial in the Journal American so aptly stated, journalism was to Kilgallen a solemn, verging on sacred, obligation, one of responsibility, truth, and principle. Yes, it certainly was. That and more.